Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, I would like to invite you to stay with me because it'll be 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, some education, always done with no manipulation. Because we don't try to manipulate people, we don't have hidden agendas, we're not soliciting anything. This show is simply about giving accurate information, no human speculation, accurate information from the Bible, from the Word of God, the canon of Scripture. I know you might not believe the Bible is the Word of God, but that's the stance that we take. These biblical principles that I'm giving you will show you how to stop the outside sources of adversity from becoming the inside sources of stress. If you will build a flatline in your soul, if you will learn God's problem-solving devices, and if you will use them, then even though adversity comes, you don't have to convert it to stress. That's what the invisible flatline is about. The main line of resistance, the forward line of troops, the flatline, is about you learning God's tremendous problem-solving devices. It's you orienting and adjusting to the plan of God for your life. And it starts with you realizing and making a decision to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed Son of God. That is, in fact, the single most significant decision you could ever make in your entire life. As the Bible says, what think you of Christ? Many, many people, when Jesus Christ walked on this earth, rejected him. Some didn't believe in him because they said, well, he's not from the town of David. He's not from Bethlehem. He's a Galilean. Many rejected him because they thought he was a prophet. And a few accepted him. The mainline religious community rejected him completely because they said he was an unlearned man and he did not know the law of Moses. And apparently, even though he wrote the law of Moses as God, they didn't seem to think that he was very fit to tell them how they should live their life. Our Lord ran into all sorts of difficulties and problems as he was confronted by these Pharisees and Sadducees and the rulers of the Sanhedrin during the times that our Lord walked on this earth. And yet he never worried, he was never afraid, he was never bitter, he was never out of fellowship with God. You and I break fellowship with God when we sin, but our Lord Jesus Christ never sinned, not one time. Because had he ever sinned, he would not have been the perfect Lamb of God without spot and without blemish that could take away the sin of the world. And who we have on that cross is the anointed Son of God. It is Jesus the Christ, and he is the one who died for us, who assumed our penalty in his own body on the cross. That's why the Bible says, he that knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we may be made the righteousness of God through him. This is a message that America desperately needs to hear. And this is a message that our enemy, aka the devil or Satan, doesn't want young people to hear. America today is in serious trouble. We talked about that in our last radio show when we talked about the four-generation curse. The four-generation curse, four generations that it takes to destroy a client nation such as the United States of America. I read to you out of the book of Proverbs the characteristics of each generation. In Proverbs, going to chapter 30, reading from verse 11, there is a certain kind of person who curses his father and doth not bless his mother. That's the first generation. That generation is a generation that rejects authority. So authority orientation is the key to the survival of any nation. And it always starts in the home with the authority of the parents. And then from there it moves to the authority of the principal at school. And from there it moves to the authority of the police officer. And eventually to the authority of the pastor who teaches you the Word of God. Without authority orientation, no one can survive in the devil's world. There will be authority, it will be Satan, and he will dictate what you should and shouldn't do if you don't learn to respect the authority of the Word of God. The Bible says the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than even a two-edged sword. It is living authority. And in Ephesians 6, when the Bible says, children, obey your parents. Obey is an interesting Greek word. It's the word hupotasso. It means to be under the authority of your parents. And then we have the word to honor your father and your mother in the next verse in Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. Honor is the word tamao. And there never is a time you're not to respect your parents. There is a time when you don't have to obey your parents, and that's when you move out from under their roof. Once they quit buying your food, paying your insurance, paying your car note, paying for everything that you need, clothes, school, etc., when you move out on your own, then you're not under their authority anymore. But you are always, always, always to respect your parents. Lack of respect for parents is definitely a sin. And one of the things that happens in the destruction of a nation is this very thing, a generation who does not respect their parents. They curse their fathers and do not bring happiness to their mothers. They don't bless their mothers. And that's true. And it's a sad thing to see. Authority orientation is critical. And you know, sometimes parents bring this on themselves because they don't teach authority. You must train. The Bible says, bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord in that Ephesians 6 passage. Nurture is the word nousia, and admonition is the word paideia. One means to put something in the mind, the other means to put something on the behind. And so whenever authority is directly violated, in other words, the nousia didn't work, you put it in their mind and you said, do not do this, and they did it anyhow, then you have to put something on their behind. And this is called enforced humility. If there is no genuine humility, which is respect for authority, there has to be enforced humility. So the first way you destroy a nation is you take away enforced humility. You take away any sign of authority so that a person is anti-authority. And if they're anti-authority, then they're arrogant because they go through arrogant self-justification of why they don't have to obey their parents, arrogant self-justification of why they don't have to obey the principal, arrogant self-justification of why they don't have to obey the police officer. And once you get that unrealistic self-image that the law is for everyone else but you, then you have unrealistic expectations about how you should be treated. It starts in the home with authority orientation. This is the role that God has assigned to the parents. We must teach our children to respect authority. And this is the role that has fallen short in America. There is no respect for authority as a whole. And so we must get back to that. Because without humility, there is no teachability. And understand that humility is authority orientation. That's one of the key components of humility. One of the key components of humility is authority orientation. When a nation goes down, so when a nation goes down, the first thing you can look to see is there authority orientation in the young people? And the answer is no. And then the second thing that happens is the Bible goes on to say a certain kind of person who thinks he's pure in his own eyes. He thinks he's pure, but he is not washed from his own filthiness. Now, that is the second problem in the four-generation curse. A person who thinks that he's fine, a person who thinks that he's self-righteous. It can get worse. It can become religious self-righteousness. And that is the worst of all kinds. This second generation is the generation who has the intensification of self-righteous arrogance. They can do no wrong. Everybody else is wrong but them. They have no self-evaluation. And from there you move into the third generation. And the Bible says a certain kind of person who looks around arrogantly and is conceited. And that third generation is now locked in. Their arrogance is locked in. They are so arrogant that their eyelids are raised in arrogance. And then the fourth generation is a certain kind of people whose teeth are like swords, whose jaws are like knives, and they devour oppressed people from the earth and people from among humanity. These are those who have inordinate ambition for power and lust for power, and they will do whatever they have to do to get it. In the first generation, they reject authority. In the second generation, they have a self-righteous justification of their arrogance. In the third generation, they have locked in arrogance. And in the fourth generation, lust and ambition for power and destruction of anyone who gets in their way. That is indicative of what's happening in America today. We are on a crossroads in history. Will we survive? I don't know. But unless someone can convince a lot of young people that there must be authority orientation, then perhaps we will not survive. Maybe it'll take a few more years. If we're in the fourth generation, it takes 40 years. Maybe in another 40 years, there won't be an America. I don't know. But I know this, that we are in trouble. And we've talked about that on this radio show before. What causes people to make decisions like this? Why do young people get in this sort of situation? Because the Bible says they harden their hearts. Hardening the heart. You see, everyone has a volition. Everyone has a volition. You and I do. Our volition can be plus, which is yes, or minus, which is negative. Negative volition says no. Positive volition says yes. So when it comes to authority, how do you react with your volition? Do you say, yes, I will obey the speed limit? Or you say, no, I will not obey the speed limit. I'll buy a radar detector and I'll drive 20 miles over the speed limit and hope I don't get caught. The speed limit's for everybody else, but not for me. Is that your attitude? Then you are anti-authority. See how easy it can get? How easy it can get? Are you supposed to be somewhere at a certain time and then you don't show up? And then you make an excuse why you didn't have to be there that day, and everybody else has to be on time, but you didn't. That's anti-authority. Listen to Proverbs 28:14. He who hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. In Hebrews 3:8, the Bible warns us, harden not your hearts. Hardening the heart. And then another way scar tissue is indicated in the Bible is insubordination and the hardening of the neck. Nehemiah 9:16-17 talks about the insubordination to the point of revolt during the exodus from slavery in Egypt. They didn't listen to the mandates of God. They refused to obey God. They were not impressed with the miracles of God, and they elected a false leader. And it all came down on them. Listen to Proverbs 21:29, how you harden your face. A wicked man hardeneth his face. But as for the upright, that's the person who's not arrogant, God directs his way. You see, at some point in time, some believers get scar tissue. And when they get scar tissue, you cannot even distinguish them from an unbeliever. They may become very anti-authority. They may do things that unbelievers do, and you may even say, if that guy was really a Christian, he wouldn't do that. Well, I have news for you. Christians do some very wicked things. But scar tissue comes by a blackout of the soul. And what I mean by the blackout of the soul is that this, when you were young, hopefully your parents gave you mandates. Hopefully they gave you norms, and they gave you standards. The norms dealt with your physical hygiene, privacy, property, and your standards hopefully dealt with the lifestyle that you live from a biblical perspective. Biblical standards, like the Ten Commandments, and norms of establishment, like don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat. Those are norms and standards. When you have good norms and standards that have been placed by your parents in your brain, then when you violate those norms and standards, you build scar tissue. For example, if you know you shouldn't lie and you know you shouldn't steal, but you justify and you say, well, it's okay to lie in this situation and it's okay to steal in this situation, then you scar up your soul. You leave a mark on your soul. You harden your heart. You do what you know you shouldn't do. So the next time you do it, and the next time you do it, and the next time you do it, it gets easier and easier and easier. That means the scar tissue is getting thicker and thicker and thicker, and the divine norm and standard that's down there is no longer impacting or influencing your life. When you lose your norms and standards because of the buildup of scar tissue, you always will get into degeneracy. Always. Now, you may think that degeneracy is synonymous with the term immorality, but that's not true. There are moral degenerates, and there are immoral degenerates. The moral degenerate is the worst, because he's the religious, self-righteous, arrogant inspector of fruit. The immoral degenerate, we know where he is. We know what he's doing. But the moral degenerate is the man who will kill you and think that he's doing God a favor. Does that sound familiar today? Does that sound like the rationale of the terrorist that bomb buildings and blow up women and children and kill them, and they think they're doing God a favor? That is the moral, self-righteous, religious degenerate. And on the other hand, the immoral degenerate, well, he just may be your just drunkard, or he may be your chaser, or he may be something like that. We know what his problem is. We want to find him. It's easy to find him. But this moral degenerate, that's a different story. So anyone who gets scar tissue, it can destroy all of their norms and standards so that they can't think properly and they can't see things and they can't understand why they're doing what they do. Listen to Ephesians 4:19 as Paul gives this illustration from the Gentiles' point of view. He says in Ephesians 4:19, don't live like the Gentiles live in the vanity of their mind. Vanity is the word metiotes. In the Greek New Testament, metiotes means vacuum. The Gentiles had a vacuum in their mind. Now, if your mind is always taking something in, if it's processing information, the question is, what is going into your mind? And the vanity of the mind means an emptiness in the mind, a vacuum. It means what's on the inside is not as strong as what's on the outside. If you do not have good, strong norms and standards, then what's on the outside will destroy you, because what's on the inside is not able to meet the challenge. Who, being past feelings, Paul wrote about these Gentiles, which means they have no conviction. They have now given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greed, which means they cannot get enough. And he said, you haven't been called to do this. This is not what Christ asked you to do. See, once Christians enter into this sort of behavior, then we can start the process of reversing our direction. We don't go forward, we begin to go backwards. And we get into this degeneracy. Everything that is worthwhile in your life, everything that's valuable in your life, it all goes away. And this sort of person becomes a hater of God. He becomes double-minded in his ways and eventually becomes a disciple of the devil. That's what's happened in America. So many of our young people, even some that were raised in Christian homes, have used their volition to reject the truth. They've walked away from the norms and standards. They've been abducted by Satan. They've been carried off by the cosmic vortex as they lured them down the My Way highway. And here we have a whole generation of young people coming up in America who have no norms and standards, whose teeth are like swords. They have a lust for power. They don't honor their father and their mother. And as the Bible says in Galatians 5:4, they've drifted off course. Their souls have become unstable in 2 Peter 2:14. And they have been entrapped or snared by the devil in 2 Peter 2:26. This is what's happened in America. This is what's happening today. Everything good has been attacked. So if someone goes on a TV show or if someone goes on the radio and says this particular lifestyle is wrong, immediately they are attacked and criticized and put down and demonized and marginalized because they opposed sin. Now here's the thing about God. God didn't send us to straighten the world out. God didn't send you and me to straighten anybody out. He sent you and me to replicate Christ in our lives, to lift up Jesus Christ, to become Christ-like. And this is why we grow in grace. This is why we study the Bible. This is why we learn God's Word, so that we don't become vulnerable to demon influence, so that our thinking doesn't become clouded by a satanic smokescreen. It causes us to drift off course, so that there's not a void in our life, a spiritual vacuum, the metiotes that Paul talked about. This is what Paul said. He said, their hearts have hardened, and they are past feelings. The hardening of the heart is the porosis, Greek word porosis, a scar tissue. It's the porosis or the scar tissue. When your heart gets hard, here's what happens. You don't feel guilt. You don't feel shame. You don't feel remorse. And the Bible in that same passage talks about the blackout of the soul. It talks about the scotizo. Scotizo is the blackout. You cannot see what's happening to you. It's like you're in a dark room. You can't see anything. You look in the mirror, you don't see anything at all. The soul is blacked out. There's no light in there anymore. You've shut the light out. If you're a Christian, the light is the Holy Spirit, and you've quenched the Holy Spirit and grieved the Holy Spirit. Thus, you're not able to see what you're doing to yourself. And you're building up scar tissue and scar tissue and scar tissue until eventually your heart becomes hard. Now you don't feel guilt. You don't feel shame. Now you've reversed your thinking. Now you've turned away from God. Now you've bought into the lie of the devil. You've fallen into the smokescreen of Satan, and your mind has been captured. This is exactly what's going on today. We are in trouble. The United States of America is in trouble. And there's only one way out of it. It's you. You must grow to spiritual maturity. You must learn God's word and God's plan and live it. That's why the Bible says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is imperative that you, if you're a parent especially, that you impart divine norms and standards to your children. It's imperative that you grow in grace, even though you may fail, even though you may mess up, that you use rebound, recover from your sin, and take in the Word of God, especially under a qualified pastor, some man who is prepared, some man that God has given the gift to, some man who understands that his life is to study and teach the Word of God so that he can enrich your life. He will make you rich. He will give you a treasure in your soul, a word treasure. He will make you rich in the Word of God. Being rich in the Word of God means that you understand how the protocol plan of God works in your life. You understand how to use faith rest, grace orientation, biblical orientation. You have a personal sense of destiny in your life. You have personal love for God and impersonal love for others. You share the happiness of Christ, and you're occupied with Christ. That's it. That's what it means to live this sort of life. But in the frantic search for happiness, you won't find that. In the frantic search of happiness, you'll find yourself captured. Listen to Hebrews 13:5. Let your lifestyle be free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he himself has said, this is Jesus Christ our Lord, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And that's why we've seen that the Bible says happiness belongs to those who hear my Father's word and keep it. Growing in grace is the greatest challenge you'll ever see. But if you don't grow, our nation won't survive. If you don't teach the word of God and authority orientation to your children, our nation won't survive. And this has not been done. You can see the results. You can look at the trends of history. You can see the four-generation curse unfolding in front of your face. And I haven't even talked about the five cycles of discipline. What goes along with this four-generation curse in each one of these cycles, how God disciplines a nation. We are under discipline. You wonder why things are so bad? You wonder why our enemies laugh at us today? You wonder why our finances are in chaos? You wonder why our weather is upside down? We are under discipline, because unto whom much has been given, much is expected. You want to know why you can't walk down the streets of some cities? Because you're for fear that you'll be knocked out or robbed or murdered or killed? We're out of control. America has lost it. No authority orientation. We're on the brink of a disaster. And you hold the key. You, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their sin and seek my face, then I hear and then I heal their land. It starts with you. I hope you're listening, because you are the missing link. Will you be the man or the woman God called you to be? Then you need to start today. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.